Durham brings it cross mid-court. He's getting harassed by Evans. They still have fouls to give Cheshire. Here's Sloane to the basket. Out to Onwaz. Sloane in the corner for the win. Oh! Can you believe it? David Sloane wins it on the buzzer. And the Caledonian Gladiators go wild.
Wow, they got exactly what they wanted. They got their leading scorer open in the corner. And this time, he delivered. David Sloane.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Gladcast Basketball Podcast. Just like last week, we've got a kind of special one going, and we've got a bit of a WBBL build-up plus the Gladcast Basketball Awards for the season. Mitch and Hodgie join me again, but we've got a first time on the pod with Rona Lightbody joining us. Rona does the co-coms in the WBBL game, so yeah, Rona, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Brilliant. So on this show, we were going to reflect briefly on last week's action where the BBL side came up short against a revengeful Cheshire Phoenix over two legs. Before the BBL game, the WBBL team took Cardiff Met Archers to the sword with a convincing victory on Saturday afternoon. During this, we'll look forward to the WBBL semi-final matchup against the Leicester Riders and what to expect from them as the girls are one game away from the end-of-season showdown at the O2 Arena. We'll finish off with our Gladcast Awards, where we will name our kind of, for both teams, our Gladiators of the season, our most improved players, our game of the season, a young player of the season, and we'll also look to see who would be our league MVP. Does that sound okay, guys?
Top.
Brilliant. The last quick response there was disheartening, so we're good. Okay, so when we look back at the BBL game from last weekend, obviously the Cheshire Phoenix were victorious. They took the 166-186 win over us in round one, with the first leg deficit of 16 just being too much to bring back. Two battered teams took to the court in the second leg, and in which it felt any time the Gladiators made a run for the lead, the Knicks would just hit a big shot. Am I right in feeling that way, guys?
Absolutely. What they did is, every time the crowd got into it a wee bit, that a three-pointer for the Cheshire Phoenix would follow. And I think that was pivotal, because one of the intangible factors that can make a difference in these games is the crowd. And yeah, I think any time there was a big bucket at all that kind of energised the arena, the Knicks were there to extinguish all hope.
And Mitchell, what was that like, obviously, being on the bench with the team? You've seen that firsthand. Anytime a run kind of happened, Cheshire did answer quite back. Was there kind of growing frustration on the sidelines, or how was that atmosphere coming into the game on Saturday?
At the start of the game, it was quite from the start. It was very much like, we need to get back in this. We're down by six. As far as we were concerned, we were down 16 before the game even started, so we knew what had to be done. But we weren't too worried initially about making a massive run at the start of the game, because we had four more quarters of basketball to play. The focus was very much to chip away and make sure we're close by the end. And that we seemed on track after the first quarter. We were up four. That's a quarter of the way through it. Quarter of the game gone. We're closer, that much closer to taking the win. And then as the game got on, Cheshire were just relentless. They just refused to bow down. We threw everything we had at them. We had a few small injuries or niggles from the night before, and we weren't 100%. But credit to Cheshire, they fought and they deserved the win, rightly so. I think one main thing that I took away, especially the start of the second half, was something Gareth said in the timeout, where it's like, regardless of the result, he asked them the question, how do you want to be remembered? Because for us, if we lost that game, it was the end of our season. And you'd like to think that from watching that game, the guys did fight, not just to get the tally up, but to actually just win that game. Because as we've said numerous times, and I said it myself last week, we don't lose at home. It's a very rare occurrence, and then last Saturday was one of the very few times that does happen.
And you saw that at the end, the kind of outpouring of emotion from kind of several players. It's potentially as a full group, that was the last game these players would play together. And you saw what that kind of, I've seen it throughout all this season, you will have seen it, Hodge, you will have seen it, and then Rona, you will have seen it with the girls team. There does seem to be an absolute closeness within the club between players within the team. Like, the guys all seem to have got on really well. I spoke to Fraser Malcolm quite a while after the game. He was saying it was just such a great group of guys to be around and one of the, if not the best team kind of atmosphere you've been at. So is that kind of how you feel as well, Mitchell?
I would agree. So, yeah. There's always a worry when you bring in a lot of new players at the start of the season that you're going to get a couple of high personality guys that kind of take over the team and dictate the pace of everything. And this year, we didn't have anyone like that. Everyone was very humble. Everyone was very respectful and was trying to do the best thing for the team. Yeah. Even with the transition players we had, where we brought in two players later in the season, they all fit into the mould very well, and if not, improved it. And it has been very much that we have learned what sort of team we are as the season's gone on, and we've gone from strength to strength, and going out the way we did isn't the way anyone would want to go out. But the guys should hold their heads high. They have fought to the very end, and they have taken home a trophy to Scotland for the first time in over 2 decades now, that's right?
Bang on 20 years, yeah. Brilliant. So let's move on. Obviously, we wish any of the guys who a great summer, and if hopefully we'll see as many of them back as possible in next season's roster. And if they don't, we wish them well with their career. So, and obviously some brilliant news to kind of flip it round. And the team's kind of first season in the WBBL, not only claiming a second place finish, with an 81-53 point win on Saturday, we've now got home semi-final in the WBBL playoffs against the Leicester Riders. In the regular season, they've split the head-to-head with both winning the away game. The last time Riders were in Glasgow, the game went to overtime. And set to be a kind of an enthralling matchup, and they're both teams finished on a 17-5 record. Rona, what do you think we can expect from this matchup? And it's, I realised when I was doing some research, and the Gladiators actually have the second best defence in the WBBL.
Yeah, I think the Riders matchup is going to be a really interesting matchup. I mean, looking at the stats themselves, I mean, they don't always tell a full story, and they did come up against them in the trophy as well, the Betty Cadona one. So they're currently behind the Riders in a 2-1 split. But I think Riders offer something different. When I saw them when they lost the Riders down when they were away, they went with quite a small lineup, and that's something we didn't quite exploit to the same extent as when we've got the bigger players. And obviously with the length, and you really saw that in the Cardiff game, how we managed to use that to our sort of advantage. But I think Leicester Riders are just a really tasty matchup. Obviously, Donny's worked with Hannah before, and we've also got Kirsty there, who's also got a Scottish passport. So, you know, there's some background there as well. We've obviously had Erin and Robin have played at Leicester as well. So there's quite a lot of crossover. I do think it's going to be an awesome game end to end. You know, I'm hoping / thinking we're going to come out with the win for sure. But I think for anyone who goes along to watch it, whether it's their first game of the season or last game of the season watching the girls, it's definitely going to be a good one. And I'm definitely looking forward to calling it with Hodgie. But I think, yeah, I might have my head in my hands, hopefully not too often.
And like, Hodgie, I know you've muted yourselves, hope you can hear me. Who has impressed you on this kind of Riders team? You've obviously got seen them in a bit of action, probably done your research as well on them. Who's kind of been the standout players for you?
Well, I think the key thing that I think that Leicester have got is there's only in the WBBL, a lot of the lineups have, or a lot of the teams have lineups that kind of dictate what they can do, whether it's in terms of size, whether it's in terms of the abilities that they've got. But I think Leicester, obviously London you would look to as well, and the Gladiators, for me, are probably the three that stand out as having versatility, having the ability to throw different looks at you and ask different questions defensively and offensively. I think the other thing that they've got is they have a lot of talent in that team. It's a really, really strong starting contingent that they've got. And I think in Mackenzie Johnson and Ashley Arland, they've got two of the really, really influential players in the league in terms of the way that they go about their business. And another thing that I was just when I was kind of looking before coming on is, other than Arlen, who I think is 33, it's a really, really young team. Most players 25 and under. Johnston, the other kind of experienced one, I think she's 26. So I think that aspect of it is something that is quite exciting going into it, because I like to see how teams build and how players develop. And Trumesh Patel seems to have a good group there. And it's going to be a tough ask for the Gladiators to come away with a win. But I think we've seen that with the way it went for the BBL team, the men's team, and home advantage can be very, very important depending on when you have it and how it kind of plays out. But I think with these two teams being as closely matched as they are, I think anything that could make it a more pivotal factor. Obviously, one of the kind of adjuncts to that, though, is most of the games have been played at the Lagoon Centre in Paisley. This one's going to be at the Emirates Arena. So I don't know if that maybe dilutes that somewhat, but Leicester are a really, really talented team. And we saw in the WBBL trophy final in the other side of the Emirates that this is a team that even when playing London, although London did pull away, you could see the ability that this Leicester team has in that game and able to perform in the big stage as well, despite their relative youth. So it's going to be an exciting one. And for me, an absolute honour to be part of it.
It's mad to think that having been at both cup and trophy finals, the cup final, they were absolutely blown out of the water by London. And a lot of people assumed, obviously wrongly, in the end, that it would be very much a one-sided battle at the trophy final as well. But Leicester were in that with a quarter to go. I was just looking over again their game at the weekend. So they took a three-point win over the Essex Rebels, a team that we pretty much comfortably beat the weekend or two weekends before that. But actually, during that game, Essex had a considerable lead. The lead kind of went back and forth, and it kind of obviously went down to kind of the final minutes or so. Mitchell, do you think that Leicester having a number of players who, and they've obviously been in two other finals this year, does that big game experience maybe give them the slight advantage?
I would say it doesn't really have an advantage element there. But I think that for me, looking at it, Leicester's squad is very experienced and have a lot of experience here for a team that, as Stuart said, is still quite a young team. They've been in multiple finals. They compete. They're top of the league. They match the Gladiators point for point. For me, the most interesting matchup is actually between the coaching staff. We've seen how good Patel can be in games, but we've also seen just how much of an impact Miguel could have with this squad. I mean, if you think about the start of the season, what were the expectations? I doubt many people expected we'd finish top two.
Well, Rhoda, you were obviously part of the early squad of the season. What was the kind of this squad's aims and objectives heading into this campaign?
Obviously, can't disclose that information. No, obviously, Miguel's come from a club that's used to winning everything. Miguel is a top coach. No, Donny's a top coach. Who they brought in, bringing in Chantel Handy. I remember the WhatsApp group when all these announcements were made for our national league team. Like, it was just going berserk because you're like, wow, like they're going hard on this. So I think expectations, I think, yeah, everyone's delighted finishing second. Obviously, I touched on it on the comms that everyone wants to win, but coming in second is awesome. But I think, you know, I don't think the expectation wasn't there because everybody within that team has their own high standards. The coaching staff have their expectations and standards. So I think they'll be satisfied with finishing second, but they'll still be wanting more. I know they want silverware, for sure, and they have that expectation. I think what you say about Leicester, you know, they've learned how to win and they've learned how to get to the big stage. But equally, can you flip that on its head and go, Gladiators haven't, so they're hungry for it. And also Leicester coming through an overtime win against Essex, they've been pushed their past couple of games. I mean, they had a rough run of games, a bit like the Gladiators did, but, you know, they came into it. And if you include the playoff game, you know, they're now split 3 wins, 3 losses, but coming up against Suns, Gladiators, Lions to those losses as well. But I think it's going to be an interesting game and an interesting matchup with loads of different factors. But at the same time, it's going to come down to that 40 minutes on the court and who does what on the day. And I think that's literally what it's going to come down to. I think we've got the grit and the determination. You've got people like Chantel Handy. Yes, she's maybe not won stuff this season with this team, but they have won in the past. You do have winners there. It's maybe just not, they've not got the pieces together. So you're hoping that's what playoffs are about, right? Bringing together the pieces at the right time. So you're going to hope that they peak again.
Yeah. And we spoke last week without during the recording, but it was at a time where Hoops Fix had put out their WBBL team of the season. And in the write-up, there was mention of some Gladiators players, but none of the Gladiators made their kind of starting five. And we kind of came to the decision that was kind of testament to how much team basketball the girls play. Looking at the game against Cardiff, you had Erin in double figures, Abby in double figures, Taya, Jamila, Chantel, and some, I can't remember who else, all in double figures. But that was about four or five girls contributing massively across the game. Is that something that we think heading into, or Hodgie think heading into this weekend, actually stands us in a good place that actually we're not reliant on one or two players? It's a full squad of girls who can contribute.
Absolutely. I think any team that is reliant on its stars is always at the mercy of fate making something befall you that's unfortunate, you know? So like, if somebody gets injured or hurt or whatever. But I think this Gladiators team entirely do it by committee, and they don't take, or well, they're not allowed to take quarters off, to take passages of play or plays off. Miguel Angel Ortega, I had the pleasure of gathering with him and having a good hour on the phone. It was great to get an insight into how a guy who has performed at the very top level of the game has, how his brain works, how his methods work, and why he was bought into this project was part of what fascinated me, because for a guy of his reputation and gravitas to come and join a franchise which is looking to just build, I was really interested to see what the reasons were behind that and why he was looking to do it. And so that was really good. But one of the things that he definitely wants from his team is he thinks that in every single play, they should be completely focused and knowing what their job is, and also always approaching it from the mindset of trying to improve. And I think it's been really, really good to see over the course of the year that some of the younger players in the team really have improved. Some of the ones from abroad have come over and really adapted and become an integral part of the fabric of what the Caledonia Gladiators is, both culturally and in terms of what they're doing when they're on the hardwood, you know? So I think that side of it is really good. But as you say, man, like, the fact that you can have Chantel handy and you can just bring her off the bench, if that's the way that you want to work your lineup, that is an incredible luxury to have. And I'm pretty sure the only other team that would maybe choose to do that, or they might choose to put her in the starting lineup, is the London Lions in the league. So I think that's testament to show the level of ability that is in the squad. And I kind of hinted at it before, the other thing that I think is really good is if the Gladiators want to go big, they can go big. If they want to go small, they can go small. They can defend in the zone. They can do whatever suits what they're up against. And they have the versatility within the squad to do that. And one player that me and Rona were mentioning in the commentary, Jamila Thompson has come in a little bit later, but she has absolutely become a vital part of what the Gladiators are trying to achieve this year. And it's the development of players like that that maybe come in a bit late and add something a bit different that makes you think, do you know what? Maybe there is the chance that if we get past the Leicester Riders, that we can go and pull the upset in the final if it's London that we face in the end and come back with silverware. Because how good would it be, silverware for the men and the women in year one would be incredible. Year one of the new project, I should say.
I think for me...
Sorry, go, Mitch.
I think another part for me that I've noticed through the season, not just above just the players themselves, is like touching on Miguel again, is just the calmness he seems to have in any sort of situation. Off the court, he's one of the most soft-spoken guys in the office by far, but he's very calm, very controlled. You know, he's got a plan for everything. It just seems like no matter whatever happens in the game, he's got something up his sleeve ready to do that. And that comes from the experience, right? As you said, he's achieved so much in European basketball. And if he can have that impact and help the Gladiators win against Leicester, and then we've beaten London already this season, who's to say we can't make it too?
Just to kind of expand on what you both have said there, you look at someone like Jamila who's come in during the season, and but also has played 12 games for the girls team. Like, you look back at the start of the season when the season was very much stop. When I was looking into this a bit more, I can't believe someone like Erin Jones only played 5 games. It felt like she played a lot more. It was just the games were so spread out. Whereas since Jamil has been in, it feels like the games have been near enough every week or even two doubleheader weekends. And I suppose we look at what momentum does, because I think at the start of the season there were some definite games the girls dropped that was probably due to maybe not having games for a while. But it's amazing how a run of successful games, getting people like Tamara, Jamila, properly embedded within the team, has made a massive difference to how they're playing as a team.
Yeah, I would agree. And it was quite stop-start at the beginning, especially with Gloucester pulling out at the very last minute, and then Durham obviously being able to push back their games for quite some time, which I think is a whole other discussion in itself, because obviously then they went and dropped a game to Durham. And you're thinking, well, if the team had been allowed to play the game when they should have played the game, when we didn't have the same injuries, etc. But yeah, there's definitely, I think, something to be said for having a run of games. I think the guys, it was tough scheduling going from the Friday night to the Saturday, and then that was even before you would have known about the issues on the motorway. But I do think, you know, having games consecutive weeks, or we were talking about Europe stuff, you know, if you then do go and play during the week, actually, does that benefit your team? Because you push together camaraderie, you push together putting things into play. Yeah, so you can look at it from all angles, can't you? But I do think that you can see recently as well, with WBL, they've been running a sort of tighter 8-9 person rotation. And that's something they've been able to work through, whilst also giving sort of the younger academy players some time so that if they do need to step up, they can. But yeah, I think it's definitely working in teams' advantages when they can play consecutive games. As long as you're in a good run, sometimes you want that extra sort of little week's break, depending on where injuries and things are at. But yeah, mad to think Erin only played 5 games, but she was around for so long pre-season as well. So it was like she was around for even longer.
Like, it felt like Erin only left at Christmas time, which she did do, but she'd been in for so long and they were only really the same distance the other side, and there's been so many more games. It's just, well, yeah. So with this obviously being the kind of first season of the Gladiators project in the WBBL, 18 girls have suited up and got minutes in league action for the team. Rona, this is probably one of the ones best questions for you. How do you see the transformation in the club from Lady Rocks in the National League to now being near the top of the WBBL?
I think it's beyond expectations. Obviously, when this idea was first discussed and floated, Lisa was really good, you know, at bringing us on to Zoom calls back then, you know, in those days, bringing us on and discussing what was going to happen, and everyone was really keen. But you have no idea how it's going to pan out and what's going to happen and what the logistics of it are. And obviously with the Pride set up and how it was going to merge and various other things. But yeah, I think the opportunities that have been afforded to players have been awesome. There's not been, to my knowledge, there's not been anyone put their hand up and said, look, I'd love to give this a try, that they've turned around and said no. And I think for females in sport in Scotland, that's massive, because it's maybe something that's a little bit newer. And I mean, you were talking about the Rocks winning, well, when they were called the Rocks, winning 20 years ago, and I'm pretty sure I was at that game probably selling programmes or something, you know, that season, because that used to be the opportunity females had, like, was to go along and either do the stats for the guys' games or be at coaching sessions with them and taking them to schools and stuff, whereas now we legitimately have our own team. So I think the fact that we've got that many homegrown players as well in the team is testament to it as well, because obviously Rob and Erin playing big minutes, and then obviously with the academy players coming through, you'd like to see them bleed in over the next while as well to becoming more key players in rotations.
And you see that with some of the experienced girls like Erin, Robin, but when you look on the flip side of that, when you've got someone like Zoe Sharp, Zoe's still what? She's 17 still? Is she 18 yet?
17.
So she's still 17, but you can see there's someone like that has been able to work so hard physically. Like, she looks totally different in terms of her confidence, her strengths are on court. Like, she played big minutes against the big one in London. And it must be some experience for someone so young to be given that opportunity to share the court with someone like Kiki at London Lions, who's been drafted in the WNBA.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that, I think for any young sports person, I think getting those reps in early can be something that can be quite transformational in your journey and your trajectory to becoming, well, obviously professional sports person, and then developing on from there to be the very best version of yourself. I think what makes Zoe Sharp a really special player is her poise. There's obviously, as you mentioned, physically, there's areas that the more that you can work as a professional sports person and work with people to better yourself, whether it's physically, your technical attributes, the mental side of the game, it's all going to get better. And then having a purpose-built arena with practice courts that you can do that is obviously going to be a massive factor in that. But as you say, that big game experience, there's no substitute for that, because Zoe, who's a very calm and poised player anyway, it just brings even more added assurance for her if she's in these situations again later in her career. And that can only be beneficial for the Gladiators, or if she does move on to play her basketball elsewhere internationally for Scotland, for GB. And I think there's no doubt that, Zoe, Kerry McGee, Sally Campbell, Emma Kerr all have really, really bright futures ahead of them.
I think that's one thing I always say when you look at what game was it? Was it Was it Essex we played 2 weeks ago?
Yeah,
in that Essex game, when everyone was on the court, everyone got a chance. You saw even down the end, the bench and reaction for when everyone was scoring. Everyone was getting a chance at a score. The bench, all the senior pros were getting excited for the younger girls. And it just seems like both the kind of academy players and the senior pros, even your imports, just have all bought into a really big vision for the kind of early seasons of this WBBL project. It's amazing to see.
I'd agree, and I think that's something that someone who's worked very much classes as a veteran, that's what you want to see, though, because that's what's going to continue to keep the club successful, and that's what's going to help grow the club, is having these younger players there. And younger players, you know, we've all been there. You get it tough. You maybe don't get as many reps in training. You maybe, you know, you're getting knocked down a lot. You've got a lot to learn because you're going up against these players who are wiser, you know, maybe quicker, faster, stronger. They've played, they understand better. And to go then go out and see these younger players do well, like, you feel like a sense of pride because you're so invested in them, because you want them to grow and develop as players. And you really want, you do want to nurture them through, and, you know, and that's sort of the reward for them, is being able to get out there and get their minutes. I mean, in Cardiff, someone picked up on it. I was like, I've got trainers older than the average age, because they went with the four young ones and Abby. And Abby herself, I think, is 23. So I'm like, jings, like, that's a young lineup. And they were out there and they were holding their own, you know. And for them, they had less security blanket of having less of the pros on with them. But they went out and they did it. Now they've done it once, they'll be able to do it again. They did it in the Essex game, you know. And it's great to see them getting scores. And like you say, seeing the bench up and applauding them. But that's the thing. Like, the game will only continue to grow in this country, and they'll only continue to grow as players as these vets come back and they feed in their knowledge to these younger players to help them develop. We've all, if you go and ask any player who's got to any sort of level, like, role models usually tend to be those older players who've nurtured you and guided you along. Yeah, you can have your superstars, your LeBron Jameses and Kobe Bryant, but they've not put an arm around you after a game and be like, don't worry about that, like, missed jump shot or chucking the ball out of court, or, you know, talking you through it. So I think that's invaluable, having that balance and everybody being so full circle and involved with each other.
And I think circle is such an interesting word, because it's kind of the circle of life, isn't it? Because it's these same girls now that are going to be doing that role in 5-10 years' time, you know. And I think fostering a culture where that starts now and then carries on throughout the club, looking forward into the years and decades to come, that's what, for me, is so exciting about what the Caledonia Gladiators are trying to do and what's happening in a wider sense with basketball in this country. It's awesome.
Absolutely. So, question for you, Mitchell. I'm going to put you in the spot.
Oh, God, there you go.
Obviously, with the girls' team heading into this weekend, victory would be superb. We're coming up against a very experienced Leicester Riders team. How do you see the game going over the 40 minutes?
Why are you putting me on the spot for this one?
You hadn't spoke for a wee bit, so you got it first.
That's fine. That's fine. I mean, I'm going to be there watching it, so I'm looking forward to every single second of it. I can see it being a really close game. The two teams match up really well. There's a reason why they're tied on the record for the season. Leicester are quite young, but they are very well experienced. They have, as we've all mentioned already, they have reached a final before. I just have a feeling about the Gladiators for this playoff run. I just think they've got something about them. Part of it is down to the fact that they do have some very level-headed veterans on their squad to kind of lead their younger players through. they have players that have won at high competitions in other countries, that have competed at a very high level in other countries, that are leading that squad. They're led up by two very accomplished coaches who are also leading the charge. And they've got a lot of support around them, and they're gonna have a good home crowd backing them up in the Emirates Arena for that game. I think it could be a tight one, but I can't go against the Gladiators for it. I want to see them at the O2. I want them to get there so badly, and I think they can do it.
Hodgie, what about yourself? What do you reckon we could see on Sunday afternoon?
Gladiators beginning to pull away in the second half and win by 8.
Oh, we're getting points. Rona, I'm not expecting the same for you. What do you foresee happening?
I see Leicester starting hot and racing out, but Gladiators chipping away at them. And then, yeah, that sort of third quarter run, I see Chantelle coming on, hitting a couple of her threes as she casually does. And, yeah, sort of just going from there.
Brilliant. So,
obviously.
What about you, Grant?
Yeah. I think we're in for thanks for asking. I think we're in for a good classic game. Like, you've seen the think about the first game at the Emirates, these guys played with each other. Like, they get it was kind of the polar opposite of what we were predicting there. That game went to overtime. Leicester crawled back into that game really slowly throughout the game. Gladiators' second half weren't great. We passed up a shot at the buzzer to tie it, and Leicester took the 3-point win, I think it was, or 2-point win. And I'm hoping it's as nail biting as that, but obviously the result goes our way. I think Leicester play that same way, and they've had that identity all season, where, as I believe the Gladiators have kind of continued, just what we said about the BBL side, they kind of continue to grow, especially over the last couple of months with new additions to the roster. And everyone, you see how interchangeable Miguel plays his roster. Every week there's a different starting five or a slight change in the starting five as he probably tries to go against other matchups. So I think we're in for an absolute classic encounter, and I think Gladiators will do it as well.
Clean sweep.
So yeah, good luck to the girls on Sunday afternoon. The four of us will certainly be there. If you're unable to be at the game, you'll be able to hear the tones of Hodgie and Rona on commentary, which I'm sure will be excellent as usual. So if you're not able to get along, check it out on YouTube. Right, we're now going to head into our Gladcast Basketball Awards for this season. I've messaged the three on the show today. They're kind of their nominations, their votes, or whoever they're going to be. So these guys don't actually know where this is going. We've got awards for both team, BBL and WBBL. We have got our MVP, our most improved player throughout the season. We've got our young player of the year. We've got game of the season. And then we've also going to have a discussion around about who we think should be WBBL and BBL season MVP. So the first one we're going to look at is for BBL Gladiators MVP. The nominees or the top three votes went to Farrelly Hodgic, David Sloan, and Prince Onwats. All right. So the winner of the first ever Gladcast BBL MVP is Prince Onwats.
Oh, like it.
All three of us selected Prince in our choices.
Mm-hmm. I think that's fair.
I think so. Prince has kind of been that guy who's, you know what you're going to get. Defensively, he's been brilliant. He brings a lot to the team. He scored some big buckets. Trophy final is a standout one where he scored some really important baskets. And both on and off the court, he holds himself really well. He's a great guy to get, that I think we've all got to know quite well.
Prince Onwats is the glue guy in that team. Like, he's the guy that, if someone's having an off night or if someone else is having a good night, he just knows the role that he needs to play to whatever the game situation is. And that's why I picked him.
Yeah. Maybe doesn't do it numbers-wise, but his impact everywhere on the floor is very much felt. So on the WBBL nominees for Gladiators MVP, we have got top three, Chantelle Handy, Taya Adams, and Erin McCarrigan. All right, Rona was in on this one as well. So the WBBL MVP is Erin.
Yay. I think it was such a tight contest, so when you're looking at it and then you're breaking down stats. But I know, I mean, given playing my cards with it, I went for Erings. I just think, again, like you're talking about Prince, and I would agree on the guy's side. Again, she just gets stuff done and she quietly goes about her job, and she is the captain as well, and she does all of that stuff. But it's a tough call because, like you say, you've got so many of the girls doing everything you would need from an MVP. Tough one to call, but I'm glad you called it, Grant.
Erin leads the team in scoring. We've seen her hit some really important buckets. She also shoots almost 50% from three this season, which was even more staggering. I think that's just brilliant. So well done to Erin on winning the WBBL Gladiators Gladcast MVP award as well.
And just one other thing on that, sorry. She's also played every game. And that's not bad, considering she's holding down a full-time job. And if you know Erin, she had quite a terrible foot injury, which is why she had some time out from the game. I think snapped a tendon in her foot, representing GB at the 3x3. And, yeah, the fact she's managing the injury and the load and playing, I'm like, I take my hat off to her, because that's a tough old schedule to be doing that on top of a full-time job.
Really commendable. I mean, since we're talking through them, I did go. Now, again, BBL and WBBL rookie, so maybe that's figured into it. I don't know. And probably delegitimizes any of my choices somewhat. But this is the first season that I've got to see Chantel Handy play basketball. And I think she is an absolute Rolls Royce player. And it's a joy to watch her. And me, as a guy who fell in love with the sport via Stephen Curry revolutionising it, someone that just shoots the three ball that beautifully, I have all the time in the world for. But Erin, a deserved winner as well. She is the heart and soul of this basketball team. And there would be probably no better narrative arc in female basketball in this country than if in the first year, it would be two amazing stories if you had David Sloan's buzzer beater for the men to end 20 years of hurt. And then in the women's side, Erin McGarrigan, who has sort of grown with the club just throughout her basketball playing career and life, and the club has kind of grown alongside her. And then in the first year of the new project and the new era, carrying them to playoff glory as the skipper would be just beautiful.
And I've also seen pictures of her wielding that sword about, so you don't want to mess with her.
No.
Definitely not.
That sword will be with it. If they make the final, that sword's going with them, I can guarantee you on that one.
How's that getting done a plane? That's what I want to know.
Who's taking a plane?
We'll get through the metal scanners at the O2 with it.
No, probably not, but we'll find a way.
Steve will get it in.
Of course he will. But no, props to Erin. She was very well deserved. She was in my... She was one of my first picks for it. She was just phenomenal. She's been one of the consistent factors all year, as you guys have already said. And if she can help lead that team to a win, it'd be phenomenal. She would be in quite a nice trend, actually, because that would be with Pride as well. Caledonia Pride in their first year made the trophy final. So it'd be a nice sort of cycle of whenever a Caledonia team enters the WBL, they make a final in the first year. So it'd be a nice little routine to continue with that one.
Always a narrative.
Love a narrative. I'm a writer. I love a narrative.
So let's jump on. We've got most improved player. We'll start with the girls team this time. And so in the WBBL, our nominees were Taya Adams, Abby Wolf, and Zoe Sharp. So three very deserving nominees. And the winner of this one is Taya Adams. So Taya wins the Gladcast Most Improved Player for the season.
I think I'm going to be controversial here. I feel like most improved is always an icky category because it makes you feel like you've not been very good. Whereas I see it as the flip, just as in she has grown and got even better. There's a reason she was at Oregon State, playing. Absolutely. There's a reason she's got a stellar college career. It's not that, I think whenever people get maybe most improved, they're like, what? Was I not very capable? But whereas with her growth, she wasn't necessarily in the start rotation, but that's not necessarily a sort of pointer of where you're at. But the way she's gone in, and there's been some games, there was a Cardiff away game, and she was just carrying the team. I think she had 19 of the team's like 24 points at one point. And she's someone who I feel's really grown in her role. So I think most growth player, you know, as in, and she's adapted to being overseas and all the things that come with that. But yeah, like I say, she was definitely up there with my MVP choices as well. But I think, yeah, excellent work from her as the season's gone on and sort of matured in her style of gameplay and learning to carry the team when needs.
So the past 10 games, the fewest points she has scored is, so basically since the London win, the fewest points she scored is 11, and the most she scored is 23, and everything else is kind of mid-teens. She's kind of been the kind of leader scoring-wise in a lot of games. Her 23 points against Cardiff, 16 against the Riders, 15 against the London Lions when it was up here, and then 13 big points against Cardiff at the weekend, I think. Since that kind of, so I think since she kind of sat out a couple of games.
Now, just on that note, see on that note, during that game at the Copper Box, she played through a very serious injury to be part of that team that produced that historic win. So that's evidence of Tia Adams' tenacity, getting to the basket and attacking. She is one of the most frightening forces in the WBBL. She's very tenacious. She's got a great attitude. Obviously, her dad, right, I've mentioned that a few times in the commentaries. Her dad's a Super Bowl winner, Sam, and she's definitely got that same sporting steel that he's got. And I think that's indicative. But the reason I think she was deserving of the most improved player is, and I think Rona was quite right, it's not that she came in and she was rubbish at all. She came in and she was of a very good level to start with, but I just feel that she's not having to rely on those fighting qualities and her natural basketball ability as much now. She's pacing the game better. She's calmer a lot of the time, even though she's still got that dog in her. She's very calm, and she's playing in a way where it seems just a little bit more measured and calculated, and maybe you could say more mature from a playing standpoint. So that's why I think I've just seen her go on a journey, and it's been a pleasure to observe it this season. And yeah, well done, Tia. Well done, everyone, but well done her on that award.
Definitely. I think I kind of agree with Rona on that point regarding the most improved. Like in other leagues, most improved is typically a player that's improved from year to year. But because of how our league kind of works, we're not seen as a destination league. We're seen as a transition league more than most. So we often are relying on first-year players and how well they develop. And I think from Taya's growth from the start of the season to now has been phenomenal. She's a phenomenal player from when we first arrived. We saw that from the first game she stepped on the court. But she's just got better and better, and she gels even better with this team as the season's gone on. She fits into the system better. She's contributing in various ways that maybe you wouldn't have initially thought at the start of the season, and she's proving that she's in a vital part of the team is when it, in the games that matter most.
Absolutely. Absolutely, and what a deserved winner that one is. So, well done, Taylor, winning the Gladcast WBBL Most Improved Player. So, on the BBL side, our nominees are Patrick Tappe, Kyle Jimenez, and Fraser Malcolm. This was split by three of us, right? So I had to call in a special vote, and I messaged Sean Skelly, the GM, for his deciding vote. So Sean picked Kyle Jimenez. So Kyle Jimenez wins the BBL Most Improved Player for Gladcast. So from my point of view, you've seen that kind of development from Kyle. We saw him kind of burst into our screens during the 3-on-3 in the summer in Birmingham. He then had probably a slow start dealing with kind of injury coming out of the Commonwealth Games to latterly being a massive part of our starting five. He doesn't always maybe put the points up on the board, but he's actually one of our best shooters from three, for example. But he's just that guy. You see his tenacity in defense, defends the kind of strongest guard of the opposition, and yeah, doesn't give up. And you see what you do physically, blood, sweat, and tears as he dives about the court. So for me, I think he's definitely a worthwhile winner.
I think another value that Kyle's really brought beyond just his stats on the court is how much he stepped up as a leader on the court as well. Like, start of the season, he was like, you could see that you're relying very heavily on the likes of your more veteran players to take the charge. But as the season's gone on, Kyle has been the first point of contact who's constantly talking with Gareth while on the court. He's directing the plays, he's directing the guys, he's communicating constantly with everybody to dictate the pace, which from someone that has that is a point guard himself and really likes that position, that's what I want from a point guard, to be able to take that command. And Kyle's done that as the season's gone. He's gone better and better. And as you said, he exploded onto everyone's screens. He was a massive part of the Commonwealth Games push. As the seasons have gone on, across NBL and BBL, he has continued to improve. And it makes sense to do it in a Scottish team that he's having this peak, because he's around guys. He knows he's comfortable here. And he's just got better and better as the season's gone on. And having experienced guys like Johnny and Fraser that have been involved in the system, and having a head coach who knows Scottish basketball like Gareth does, you can only improve from year to year.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Kyle Jimenez has GPS in his head when he's playing basketball. He is a player that I mean, if there's a guy behind him making a cut that I mean, I can't see when I'm looking right at it from a high vantage point commentating. Kyle Jimenez has anticipated that and delivered it right into his hands at the perfect height for him to go and dunk it. Or if someone's moved into the right area for a shot, very often it's going to be right in the shooting pocket for him just to shoot it nice and quickly. And yeah, the defensive side of his game has been good for me to observe that side of it. Sometimes when you're commentating, you kind of get carried away in the action. So it's been nice for me in the games where I've been watching, where I've not been doing that I've been able to maybe focus and zero in on some of the players' abilities that I would sometimes lose. Because part of the joy of enjoying live sport is sometimes you don't need to watch the action as a whole and you can just watch an individual. And I've done that twice with Kyle Jimenez this season. And it's been interesting to see how he uses his presence on court, because he's not influential necessarily in the way that you would imagine a conventional leader to be, and that it's like quite demonstrative or vocal or whatever. But he just seems to say the right things to his teammates at the right times. And his understanding of space, both of his teammates and where he should be in relation to everyone else, is why he started a lot of games for me this year. Because if you play David Sloan and then you play Aljami Durham together, then there needs to be a real calculation as to who's going to be ball handling when and things like that. Whereas with Kyle Jimenez, what he's great at is by not doing too much, which allows other people to do stuff. So it's almost addition by subtraction, by him knowing what he needs to do, sometimes almost keeping out of the way offensively to allow other players to do their stuff, especially with these big hybrid, versatile, crazy wings that the men's team's got. And I think his knowledge to do that and his intelligence at such a young age to understand not just his game, but what the team needs, is fantastic. So well done on the award, and yeah, I can definitely see why it was given.
Brilliant. So let's move on next category. We have got game or moment of the season. Let's go with the WBBL side first. Loads of different ones came back. We had the last game against Essex, which kind of clinched that second place, and the other one was obviously breaking London streak. So there's probably no surprise that game of the season for the WBBL was the win in London at the Copper Box.
Yeah. Right, how was this judged? Because I don't think I sent any submissions for this.
You missed that one out, Hodgie. You missed that one out from your list.
Ah, okay. Yeah, well, I mean, an obvious choice, but a very valid one.
I also cheated. I went Lions away, but I went Eagles at home, because you can't get the same vibe when you're not there. But obviously, the Lions game was awesome. But I thought the Eagles game, which was the opening game of the season, and the, you know, we blew Eagles out the water, and just to see it all come together, I thought that was a pretty special game for the season. So that was kind of like, we're here, we've arrived, this is what we're going to do. And having gone through pre-season with the team, if anything, it made game night easy. After the 40 bazillion million training sessions and runs and everything else we've gone through. Just felt like that because I'm too old. But yeah, so that was my selections anyway. But I think if I just wish I'd been at the Copper Box for that game. You're just like watching it and re-watching it. Just, it must have been phenomenal.
And it's one of those games as well. I remember watching it. It was actually a game that I'd in my house forfeited the big telly to my daughter to watch probably some Disney film, but she actually ended up watching the whole fourth quarter, the laptop screen with me, and that kind of sums up for me what that game was. Like, she sensed that excitement for me as that game, obviously London kind of came back into it. But what an absolutely grueling fixture it was. It kind of led throughout it. London brought it back. You thought, oh no, London have pulled back. Girls like their superstar team that they've got down there, they're just going to pull away. But it was the tenacity of Erin. Abbey played phenomenal that first half down there. And obviously Chantelle Handy knocking down those three throws, but then also putting in that big defensive stop at the end.
See, on that note, though, just what you're saying about your daughter, that's exactly what this club should be doing. It should be inspiring people to engage with basketball, right? And I think that kind of thing is evidence. It's almost more important than what the club achieves tangibly if people are actually going to be getting into this sport via the achievements of the team. That is what it's all about, right?
Absolutely. And like, for example, I always ask her, do you want to go to the game? Do you want to come with me? And some weeks she said yes, and some weeks she said no. I asked her at the start of this week, do you want to come to watch the girls play in the semi-final on Sunday? Without hesitation, yeah, I'll come. So that's a wee five-year-old who's already fangirling, so that's what we like to see.
That's amazing.
That's what I want to see. I'm actually just trying to find up the stats for a London game just to remind myself, and I went on the WBBL site, and the stats aren't there on the WBBL site for that game.
Yeah, I mean, not to get uber critical, but it's not always easy to plan for commentaries when you've got to search various sources with contrasting information and try and judge which the best are.
Because that night you had people like Robin played 36 minutes, Zoe Sharp played a big 5 minutes. That one, is that the right game? Because I feel like, yes, it is. Yeah, I felt she played a lot more, so maybe this is wrong what I'm looking at. We had Erin with 19 points, Abby with 16 points, which I think a lot of them were in the first half. Chantelle got 17 points in those two big three throws towards the end. So, on to the next one. And we've got to find out some justification from Mitchell early on why, within his takes, the trophy final was not mentioned.
Okay. Am I going to start this off?
We're waiting to find out your explanation for a lack of historic moments.
Okay, caveat, it's fourth on my list. But my top three were London quarterfinal, where we beat them at home. The Leicester game, when we were in Leicester, and we had an incredibly depleted roster and had our best result in Leicester for the entire year. And the third one for me was Bristol, the win against Bristol in Bristol. Now, the reasoning why I don't have the trophy final in there is more so because of what happened on the build-up to the trophy final. The game itself was phenomenal, and the narrative of it is incredible. And as everyone has already mentioned, it's a storybook ending. You can't write it any better. But for me, the weekend before was just as exciting, just as foreshadowing of the final than the final itself. So let's flash back to the week before the trophy final. We had Leicester on the Friday and Surrey on the Saturday. Leicester, we went with a depleted roster. Prince Onwas got injured in the game and couldn't play anymore. Fero Ali Hodzic got double technicals in the first half and didn't play the entire second half as a result of that. He was left in the change room and could not come back out. We finished the game.
I don't think Jeremiah Bailey's fouled out early on as well.
I don't even remember that bit. So, thank you for that. We finished the game with Fraser Malcolm at the five, Johnny Bunyan at the four, playing a zone defense against a notoriously good shooting team. And we only lost by about 4 points. Like, it was unheard of. And considering that every other game we played against Leicester in Leicester this year has been a blowout loss, it's unbelievable that we did that. And the guys fought to the end, gave everything they had, and it was a fantastic result despite the fact we lost. And I stand by that it was an incredible game for me to be there and be in the presence of it. When you see that the fans in the building actually worried that there's no way that we're going to lose this game against this bunch of guys, and we were that close, so you could feel it in the air, in the building. You felt the concern of, we might lose this game against the guys without three of their starters.
And if I remember right, you also told me there was a few guys struggling with illness.
Uh-huh, that there was. And then so, they played the next day in Surrey, beat Surrey, but they made it close as well. That whole week, I wish I could put that whole weekend as the game of the season, because it was just, it was incredible. It was it truly encompassed what the new ownership and management are emphasizing of the Gladiator way. They fought to the end for both games and gave everything they could for every minute they were on the court. And the minute that we made it close in Leicester and we beat Surrey, I already knew the final was going to be a win. You could feel it. It just made sense it was going to happen. Came in on the day of the trophy final, and I was just like, I knew we were going to win. I just had faith in the team. And I said it to all the staff, and I said it to other people, other fans, well, like, just believe it's going to happen. And that's my reason why it's not on it, because I think the other games were just as exciting. The London Trophy quarterfinal, no one could have predicted that. That was unbelievable. The passion you saw from the players when we knocked them out of that game was unbelievable. Johnny yelling, like, giving his all, still sticks with me from standing at that bench and just being there for that moment. It was just incredible. And the Bristol win was there for a very different reason. David Sloan went off. That game, it was just a masterclass of David Sloan at his finest, and I loved every second of it.
Mitch, you've stood up for yourself well there. Just going back to that Leicester game, and it was one that I had on my list, which is unusual to have a loss, but when you think it's a 3-point defeat on the road to Leicester, it's also all the situations you said, 3-point defeat, it was on Sky Sports, it was just one of those mad games where a pundit or a commentator you're calling that. Prince Onwaz, you're right, he got hurt. Kyle's playing. We had basically four guards and Fraser Malcolm at the five. Fraser Malcolm that night finished with 14 points, 6 rebounds. Yeah, it was just insane, wasn't it? And I suppose I'll let you off air. Obviously, filled out. I think Jeremiah only played 13 minutes, so I think he filled out first half as well.
He must have. Or maybe two techs again. Or no, he... I don't even know, but maybe he didn't play. I can't remember. It was all a blur of this craziness. But if he only played 30 minutes, he must have got fouled out of the game.
Fair enough. Well, he did get fouled out because he got 5 fouls. Hodgie, what's your games of the BBL season?
So is this games or is it moments?
Oh,
is it specifically BBL or are we a combo? Break down your category and I'll...
This is BBL. So, because WBBL, we said, is a London win.
Right, WBBL was a London win. And so, one game I'm going to include for the moment, which is the fairly recent game against the Surrey Scorchers. Just in the kind of middle of last month, Caledonia won 102-77. Faro Alihodzic got 21 points. Jeremiah Bailey got 18 with 11 rebounds. But the moments that stick in that game was when Will Kemp came on at the end and absolutely blitzed it. Got 7 points and was just, and he was part of a young contingent on the floor. It was a blowout win for the Gladiators anyway. But there's nothing energizes me more in sport than when local boy does good, right? Young guy comes into the team and just does what I'm sure believe he was born to do, which is play basketball. And he went out there and he was cutting and he was attacking. And earlier in the season, there was a game where he strung the three brilliantly and I went ballistic. And I think it is probably reflected in my commentary that when a young player comes on and really makes an impact, like, I can't help but vibe off that. And it was brilliant to see that for Will in that game. And I think it was just the perfect way to cap off a blowout win for the Gladiators. So I'm going to put that one at number three. Slightly controversial. At number two, I am going to say the BBL trophy final, because it was insane. Like, I mean, this is just my personal list.
Why did you just lasso the air, Mitch?
Because I'm not the only one that didn't vote for it first.
I just think, like, that was incredible, right? And it was great for me to be there at the occasion. I think I said this before, and like on the pod, but I thought it was going to be in the other hall. I didn't know it was going to be in the big hall for the final. But then I went in and I was just blown away with the size and scope of the spectacle. And obviously it ended in storybook fashion. There could not have been a better advert for the game than what was produced. And that was all thanks to the Caledonia Gladiators. Amazing. But the game I'm putting first was Caledonia Gladiators 52, London Lions 50. That was, and I was lucky enough to commentate that alongside Kieran Achara, and it was just a game that defied logic, description almost. It was something, and there was a lot of pressure. A lot of people think, oh, you were playing the London Lions, there wasn't a lot of pressure. There was an incredible amount of pressure in the Gladiators because you were playing like a second or third string version of the London Lions at home, and it was your probably primary chance, you would say, especially given that the final was played in Glasgow, to win silverware. So there was a lot riding on that for Caledonia. And they went out and, in true Scottish sporting fashion, made it watch through the cracks in the fingers and bite the nails to the quick type stuff. But they got it done. And Al Durham, 24 points, accounting for 52 overall for your team. Incredible. And a game that was just walls and walls of defense and people not able to make a shot for love nor money. Al Durham was just blitzing through it like a medieval battering ram. He was the siege engine that broke down that London Lions wall. Absolutely cracking. And that game, it was an emotional journey commentating it. And for everyone watching it, I'm sure, as well. So for all of the emotions and the great outpouring of emotion after the BBL Trophy final, I think I felt a greater spread of them in the London game, because the BBL Trophy final game was, to be honest, despondency, despair, pressure, nerves, despondency, despair, a little bit of hope, though, more nerves. And then eventually it's like we go from five to three, and then it's like, oh, right, we could actually do this, the expectation. And then the end of that game is incredible. The end of the London game was a different emotion. It was almost like a relief, but not any less relevant, I don't think. So from a personal standpoint, I'm putting that London game first.
This is insane. We're going to have an MVP vote here. This is like the NBA when first votes don't go the way I just assumed everyone would choose. So for me, number one was the trophy final. Number two, I put the Leicester away trip because that was just a fascinating game to watch. And then the London quarterfinal for me was number three. So I think when you add up them all, I think the London quarterfinal gets the Gladcast Award for Game of the Season. Can't believe it.
That's mad.
I can't believe it. Anyway, I'm moving on in disgust. So, So, heading on to kind of our final club-based award, we have got the Young Player of the Season Award. We have seen, especially on the WBBL side, four girls constantly getting playing time throughout the season. And on the guys' side, we have seen pretty much similar, with three or four guys getting minutes. On the WBL side, we only nominated one person. So the WBBL Young Player of the Season is Zoe Schlipp. And I think we've already commented on how amazing it's going to be to see kind of her growth and development with the franchise, being so young, really banging into it. When you're playing with role models like Chantel Handy, Erin, Robin, it's some learning environment to be in.
Definitely. I think she's, from watching her from the sidelines and what I have, she's just been incredible to watch. I've not seen a young Scottish woman have that level of talent in this country and be able to compete at the highest level against the best competition that the British game has to offer. She's just been incredible from start to finish, and she's been an absolute pleasure to watch.
Rona, what do you think?
Yeah, she's solid, and yeah, I say yeah a lot, but I think she's going to have a good future ahead of her. And I think a lot of it, especially at that age, yes, we can talk about skill set and stuff, but it comes down to what's between your ears. I was actually talking to that about my class today, making them do long distance running, and it's not used if I can. And Zoe very much
did that skill.
She will, we partnered it with shot put, so you know it was fair. But she's definitely got it between the ears, and I've seen her be very hard on herself, and she listens and she wants to learn and she wants to develop. There's like, from what I've seen, there's no like arrogance or anything about her. She's not got the swag. She just wants to come in. She wants to put in the work and grow and be the best player she possibly can. And I think that's, those qualities are more so what coaches often look for than are they shooting 50-60%, you know, 2-point shots, or can they do mad ball handling skills? Because those things you can develop in someone, but actually what's going on inside your head is something that at any age, if you can get a player who's solid in that, you know, they're worth their weight in gold.
Brilliant. And then on the other side in the BBL, the young player of the season, and Hodgie, you summed up that his impact in the Surrey game perfectly, was Will Kemp. Hodgie, any more you'd like to add on that one?
Flame-haired sensation Will Kemp sets fire to the bucket anytime he's on the floor. No, brilliant. I think, Will, the good thing about him is he does seem to live and breathe the sport, right? And I think I'm kind of envious of all of these young players that are having these opportunities somewhat, because I had no access to basketball when I was growing up. So there's an element of me when I'm commentating, living vicariously through these people. But yeah, it's been great to see we will, but more so for me is just seeing the influx of talent that is beginning to kind of break in. Like, Matthew Keegan put up a post on his Instagram story where it was him dunking backwards in the gym. And I'm just thinking, right, obviously it's different just kind of doing it yourself in a gym and somebody filming it. But at the same time, the fact that there's just a Scottish guy that can do that kind of thing and may well be doing it in a competitive environment soon, I buzz off it, man. And it's so, so good to see. But I think in a season where a lot of these young guys have come in and had a chance to do the BBL thing and get a taste for it, I think Will is the one who has maybe just taken those opportunities that little bit more readily. So I think it's a very deserved award. But everyone, Jack Henshaw, and we mentioned all of the girls and the women's side as well, it's brilliant to see, and I can't wait to see even more of it.
Yeah, the future is bright for Scottish basketball on both ends of the team. One thing I actually remember making a note of at the trophy final for the men's side in particular, we had six different Scottish basketball clubs represented on that bench across our youth players and our coaching staff and our main rotation. Six different basketball clubs from across Scotland. It's incredible. And you'd like to think that that'll happen on the women's side as well. Obviously, the women's Gladiator side is absolutely dominant and has got a very strong youth program. And that's credit to the staff of Lady Rocks of past years to help nurture that. But they are setting a precedent across the board for that every club has to match and emulate if they want to be at this level. And they've You get credits. You see, you look at this top players for both the squads, and Scottish players are there. And there's nothing to say that our youth programs, like the likes of William, Jack, Matthew, Zoe, Sally Campbell, they can all have an impact on the squad going forward. They can all have a massive sort of influence on where the clubs will go.
Brilliant. Everyone, I think with an hour and 8 minutes on the clock, we should kind of bring this to a close. Thank you guys for coming on the show tonight. And Rona, thank you for making an appearance. Have you got, Rona, I think it'll be good for if we can get what you think as a final word to everyone and why they should get down on Sunday to support the girls.
One word, wow. The only words that come to mind are yeah and definitely, which I say far too much. If you maybe get Hodgie to talk, I'll just talk over him because that's when I do my best work. So if you maybe get him to start to say something light, I'll just cut right in. Why should they come down? Why wouldn't you? What else are you going to be doing? I can guarantee I've not brought anybody along. I've brought kids along from school. There's been teachers come along. Friends have come along. Nobody has come along and not enjoyed the experience and been blown away by just what is on offer and watching the players and being able to get behind the players. And it's going to be something different for a lot of people. And that's about 47 words. So I'll stop.
Do you know what? Just on that note, I'll cut across the end of you just to dovetail it quite nicely. My best mate and his missus went along to the last double header that we had. And although, obviously, the women's team absolutely smashed it, and then the men's team, the disappointment and defeat in the end. But they said, this is amazing. We're going to be coming back. So I think it is a case, there's maybe a responsibility in all of us and anyone listening to this that's properly ingrained within the basketball culture in Scotland and beyond to just spread the word of this sport. Because what we want to see is we want to see arenas getting filled, don't we? And that is, for me, the next kind of stage of the evolution of basketball in this country. And then eventually everyone's going to know our name. And now you know.
Brilliant. Mitch, thank you very much for joining us this evening. Hodgie, thank you for joining us this evening. And Rona, thank you very much for coming on tonight. And hopefully this was a fun evening for you as well as us talking about basketball.
Joyful experience.
Brilliant. All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Enjoy the rest of your week. Enjoy the rest of the season. Good luck to everyone playing this weekend. And we'll see you next time on the next episode of the Gladcast Basketball Podcast.